Parshas Tetzaveh, it says at the beginning, in the first pasuk, "Biyichu elecha shemen zayizach, pure olive oil, kosis lamaor, beaten for the light." And as the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal and his son Shlita has said, that what is the symbolism that has to be so pure without any sediment whatsoever? Because as we know, the menorah is a symbol of the Torah. The Torah has to be approached without any preconceived ideas that are foreign to the Torah. Any prejudgments that one must have are not good. They can contaminate what he learns. One has to approach it open-minded, so to speak, clear, without any foreign machshavas, to reach the highest ideals of the Torah, to see exactly what Hashem is telling him, not what chas v'shalom others that are connected that are telling him. And that's why it has to be beaten in order to keep on pressing, hacking away with toil, v'chol koichai v'nafsho, to understand the will of Hashem. And it also says, v'halos ner tamid, to bring up a light, literally, a lamp. And the Gemara in Shabbos, as Rashi brings, learns that he has to light it till the wick catches, that it will continue the flame by itself after he removes his hand. As we know, sometimes you light the candle, you take your hand away too quickly, it will flicker out. So here, it's telling you the halacha is that it had to be done to make sure that it continued to burn. The symbolism here, as the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal explains in Darash Maisha, is that, again, the ideal teacher of Torah has to instill in his Talmud to the best of his ability, so that the Talmud himself rises up lahalos on his own to become a Rebbe in his own right, to reach the highest madrigas he can become. Not that he should always remain on the level of a Talmud. Of course, one has to always have a connection, a kesher, with his Rebbe. But the point is that that Talmud, future generations, he has to strive that the Talmud should reach his fullest capabilities. Mirtz Hashem to become a Rebbe, a Gadol himself. The next pasuk says that it was done outside the parochas, as we learned in last week's parsha, was placed opposite the shulchan, the menorah. And Rosh Hashiva Shlita asks, v'chayra, menorah symbolizing the Torah Shabbat Peh, as we explained, and the Aron symbolizing the Torah Shabbat Chsav, why wouldn't the menorah have been put also in the Kodesh Kedoshim, as the Aron was put? And Rosh Hashiva explains that one possible answer could be that, as we know, it was placed opposite the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Heichal, and this is to symbolize that the highest form of living a Torah life, applying the Torah we learn, is to change the material symbolized by the Shulchan. into the spiritual, symbolizing the menorah. To make sure that everything becomes the highest ruchnius it can reach. To put the Torah in all things, that even the material things you raise to the level of the highest spirituality, as we see by the Gedolim in all the things they do, even in the mundane materialistic things, how they bring the highest levels of Kedusha to it. As the Gemara says, Hafilu Sichus Chulin Shel Talmud Chacham Sorach Talmud Tzricha Talmud. Even the regular talk, the non-Torah, so to speak, talk of a Talmud Chacham has to be, ideally, all Torah. As was told the Maisa, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, his wife mentioned that it says in the Gemara that in general the things that have to do with the house in the realm of the woman, things that have to do with halacha, the Torah, in the realm of the husband. And she said, with my husband everything is Torah, so I have to listen and ask him in all things. And that's what we're saying here. That is the ideal, to infuse even the materialism of the world, to make it the highest levels of Kedusha, of Ruchnius spirituality. It says in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Beis, you shall make the holy garments for Aaron your brother for a kavod and a tzifaris. So Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains that what is this kavod and tzifaris exactly? For honor, for beauty. You can understand kavod, if you have a royal crown, you take that royal crown, it's kavodik. You could put that royal crown onto any human being. It makes him kavodik. They see that crown, they don't know who he is, they can consider him the king. But as the question goes, does the person make the clothes or the clothes make the person? And of course the truth is that it's the person that makes the clothes. And that's the point of, sure, there's an honor in the begadim, but it has to be the sefaros. Beautiful, that you can see that the person deserves that honor. The person is the right person to wear those holy clothes. That's the sephardus. You might have a designer making ulai more beautiful in beauty. That's not the beauty. The real beauty and true beauty we're talking about here. It's the beauty of the tzaddik that shines out. The truth is, no matter what clothes he wears. But he, when he's wearing such kavodik clothes, then you see it's so well deserved and not a joke. As a story is told, the Rebbe and the Shamish traveling, and the Shamish had to get up earlier before the Rebbe got up to do something. It was dark yet. He tiptoes out of the room, and as he's going down the stairs, he passes a full-length mirror. He notices, and he exclaims, "Oy vey, I woke up the Rebbe," meaning that he mistakenly put on the Rebbe's clothes in the dark. That's the point. It's not the clothes that makes the person, it's the person that makes the clothes. Or else it's just some Purim spiel, some joke. And that's the Musa that Hashem is telling us also in this pasuk. For the Kohanim to deserve these begotten. That it shouldn't be a joke. In Pasuk Dalet, when it mentions the Big Day Kahuna, so it's interesting that out of the 8 begotten of the Kohen Gadol, was only 4 for the Kohen Hetzer, as we know, it only mentions 6 of them here. The Tzitz and the Mechnesayim are missing. So the Kol Dodi explains that the reason we can say it is not in this pasuk is to make a point and to show us how these two items symbolize the highest ideals of a person, the tzitz, HaKodesh, that the Shem Hashem on the person's forehead, where the brain is, the neshama, the highest ideals, where the mechnesayim is just the opposite, covering the bottom part of the person. And this is to show and to make us aware that all people have to understand that there's a high ideal, the highest that a person has to strive to reach, keneged the lowest. That's just the opposite. We can say, showing the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. Everyone has to understand that. It should be pashut. Not having to even be said, mentioned. The problem in societies that we have, non-Torah societies, is that many times we see that the perpetrator is shown more mercy than the victim. We see it, as we, Rahman Islan, know around us, in the legal systems also. And that's what we're trying to show here also, that one cannot give an excuse the environment a person was brought up in, and that's why he had to be a murderer, a rapist, chas v'shalom. As we know, it's not even logical. There would be no Gehenim and no Gan Eden, no heaven or hell, if that was true. Bechira was given to all. And you have the biggest riots when just the opposite happens also. We see people that were in worse environments than these criminals that they talk about and giving excuses for, and became upstanding individuals in the community. Tzaddikim. So that's the point. That's a basic. Doesn't even make sense otherwise. Hashem gave the ability of Bechira, choice, to be good or bad to everyone. What he becomes, that doesn't change it. Whether he's supposed to be a private or a general, so to speak, in Hashem's army, they're both equal. As long as each one does his job to his fullest, They're on the same level in Olam HaEmes, where it counts. But one thing for sure, each one has the choice and ability to become good or bad. Then it mentions the names of the Shvatim that were placed on the Avnei Shoham, on the Kisvos HaEifod, and it uses a Lashon in Pasuk Yud. It says six names were written on one stone, six remaining names on the other stone. So the question is, why say Hanosorim? Could just said six Shvatim on one, six on the other? Kasoldo Sam, as the Pasuk said, according to their birth. What's the Nosorim? So I would say what the Torah is showing us is that the other six, alone by themselves, separate, are no Sodom. The only way the ideal of Bnei Yisrael to reach the fullest potential of what they can accomplish is only when they're whole, together, achdus. As the Pasuk says, when will Mashiach come? When we're all together. No jealousy, no machlokes, shalom, to accomplish the best we can, and wanting each of us and each other to be the best they can. And that's what it's showing here. That by yourselves, you're only no Sodom. Still, of course, be the Sadik you can be. But you have to be also concerned to the utmost for your fellow, to make sure and want with all your heart that they should also be the biggest Sadikim, or else you're just left over. Also, the Rosh Hashiva explains that we can say that the reason the Shoham was chosen to be the stones on the Kisos HaEifod is the fact that it is the stone of Yosef. And why? Because Yosef, as we know, was the Roeh Yisroel, was a shepherd in the sense Noyag, the sign Yosef, like the Pasuk says. He took care and sustained the Bnei Yisroel in Mitzrayim with all his heart, with all his soul, to the best of his ability, and therefore he rightly deserves that. And the fact that Shoham is also the same letters as Moshe, another Roeh that we know, of course, about. Each one reaching the highest ideals of a true shepherd of Bnei Yisrael. And as Rosh Hashiva points out beautifully, Moshe is also letters Misef, from the sheep. Because as we know from the Midrashim and Chazal, that was a testing ground for the shepherds. The testing ground to see how they treated the sheep. And Hashem saw how beautifully they would treat His sheep, so to speak, the Bnei Yisrael, with that care and love. And each one brought that to the fore. And that's why we can also say that Moshe Rabbeinu, learning from Havaisav, was also learning from Yosef. It says that the ephod was supposed to be attached to the choshen by this psil tcheles. So the choshen and above, of course, by the chain to the kisvos or ephod, the choshen, that it should not separate one from the other. And the Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains that what is this teaching? It is teaching that the ephod, symbolizing service to Hashem, as we know in Tanakh, even Lahavdil, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, when they would be Oved on their Mizbeach, they would wear this ephod. And the Choshen, symbolizing judgment, to judge according to the halachos of the Torah. And what it's telling us is that judgment without the basis that is from Hashem and His Torah is no judgment. A person might have beautiful ideas, a legal system, but as if it's not based on the Torah, Hashem's laws, it means nothing. As the Moshe Zatzal explained by Avraham Avinu and Avimelech, the Meister with Sarah, and Avimelech complains and he says, "Why did you lie that she's your sister? We have laws, things like that, are not done here." And what does Avraham Avinu answer? Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. Rak, only. With this one and only ingredient missing, all your laws mean nothing. Because if it's not based on Hashem, who's unchanging, His laws don't change because of the whims of a human being, then it means nothing. And throughout history we see it. In most recent history, with the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, the German people, so cultured, so sophisticated, learned, laws on the books, what did it mean? Nothing. Why? Because they were all based on the human mind, human made. And when the human mind the next second wants to change them, he figures out a way. Where the biggest mitzvahs can be the biggest averas, and the biggest averas can be the biggest mitzvahs, to get his way, which is not Hashem's way. And that's what it's pointing out here to us. Could never divorce laws from Hashem. Everything has to be done the way Hashem wants it. It can be most logical of logics, but if it's not done and based because of Hashem, and that's what He wants, it means nothing. The pasuk before Shishi says that V'hoya mizbeach kodesh kodoshim kol anugea b'mizbeach yigdosh, that the mizbeach, speaking here about mizbeach ha'ola, mizbeach ha'nechoshes, was in the Azara, was kodesh kodoshim. So as the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal points out in the Rosh Moshe, it's very interesting that the mizbeach that was in the Azara is called kodesh kodoshim. And we find in Perek Mem that the Mizbeach Hazov that was in the Heichel is called just Kodesh. So he explains that what the Torah is teaching us is that when someone is Baruch Hashem in the Beis Medrash, He doesn't have to be on guard as when he's in the outside world, surrounded by Bnei Torah and the Dal HaRamos Shel Halacha. He can only be Kodesh, so to speak. Of course, Kodesh Kodashim, the best he can be. But he doesn't have to be on guard, so to speak, as he would be on the outside world, as we can understand. Whereas on the outside world, outside the Beis Medrash, he has to be more so, Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not only for himself, but for others also. What others will get from him. Because if they see him just, so to speak, Kodesh, as in the Beis Medrash, or we just said, they will think, oh, okay, so I don't have to be as much, and it will go much more down. Whereas on the outside, if they see his Kodesh Kodashim, at least the Mir Tzashem, they will be Kodesh, strive for the Kodesh, if they try to make a chiluk between themselves and the Beis Medrash Bacha, a younger man. And that's the point when it says that Kodesh Kodoshim, the drasha that Rashi brings from Chazal, that if a carbon pasul sha'olav kitchei hamizbeach achshirei shlo yered, it was mekadish, the basur that touched it. That's also what we have to learn. The Talmud Chacham has to understand that he has to be so infused with the Kedusha of Teras Hashem in his actions, thoughts, and everything, so that anyone who comes near him, in contact with him, will be like that also, will learn from him, will strive to be that beautiful way. Called the Recheha Darchei Noyam, Chonos Vivoseo Shalom. And that's the same point that Rosh Hashiva Zatzal says about the Keteres. The symbolism of the Keteres. As we know that Rashi brings down the Keteres as far as Atbash, Tayag Mitzvah symbolizing. And the fact that it was done at the same time as the Atavas HaNeiros, the connection between the Keteres and the Menorah, symbolizing the Torah. And the Rosh Hashiva explains Zatzal, that what the Torah is showing us is that Torah is the smell of those spices. The koyach of smell is very interesting. It's, so to speak, also a window to the soul, that from smell we can avoid certain dangers, noxious fumes, poisoned food, chas v'shalom. From smell, we can be in one place and we can smell from something coming from another place. And that's the symbolism for the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham has to make sure that he works on himself, that his Tzidkis will go forth like the Keteres, even though he's here, but will spread all over. And also for those who come in contact with him, even far away, that when they especially come in his presence, he doesn't even have to utter a word, that they know and will not do anything wrong. Like it's told about the Vilna Goyen, that anybody who saw the Vilna Goyen could not possibly do an Aveira. That's the point of this Keteres. And also that symbolism of smelling, being able to tell when something's not right. That's also the Koyach that Hashem gives to the Gedolim, that it might not seem so clear to us, but they have that sense of smell, something's not right. They can tell through their chachma, satayra, from Hashem, that it's not the right thing to do, even though we might not be able to see anything wrong. They know better because of that sense of smell, so to speak, that they gain from the amelus, toil and Torah. As it says, the Gemara, with Mashiach, they will be able to, so to speak, smell Rosh. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, next week's Pasha, says, Mecheni na misifrecha, and the Gemara says, Kil aschachom afilu b'chinam hiba. So, the fact that this week's Pasha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned, to be Mekayim, that in last week's Pasha, actually, Aaron wasn't mentioned. But I'd like to say, well, maybe we could say, the reason why this Pasha was chosen is because it's talking about Kahuna, big day at Kohen Gadol, which was Aaron chosen for. So not to take away the limelight from him, this was the Pasha that Moshe was not mentioned. And not to take...